Thank you for downloading this podcast. We trust you will be blessed by the following message from High Praise.
You know, just when you look, oh, praise God. We'll get to the Bible in a minute. See, I feel if there's things stirring. It's something about it whenever you get in the vein that the Holy Spirit is trying to, listen, church, if we don't stand up, nobody else is. The news media ain't going to stand up. We got a particular political candidate right now that's running for next year's election. Was already in the White House at one time. I won't call her name. Basically had, I mean, there's videos all out where she actually has said this verbatim. Religious convictions must be changed. That's what she said. Religious, in other words, hey, if you believe that God created a man to be with a woman and a woman to be with a man, according to her, your conviction is wrong. If you believe the Bible, your conviction is wrong. You're outdated. You don't know what you're talking about. Who is going to stand up today and say, hey, we got to get back to the Bible. We got to get back to God's original design. Who is willing to declare it? All the preachers have went into hiding because they don't want to be called a bigot. They don't want to be called these other names. Listen, call me whatever you want to call me. I don't care. I'm going to preach the word. We're going to, listen, here at High Praise, we're going to preach the word. And if the word says it, we're going to say it. We're going to declare it. Amen? That goes for promises. Every promise that God said, we're going to preach those. But let me tell you this. Not only every promise, but every commandment that God actually has given, we're going to preach that also. We're not going to just come in and just tell you, oh, everything's going to be okay. I got a feeling, whoo, everything's going to be all right. Well, not if you don't say something. We're going to live in some type of fantasy land while the world goes to hell. Who's going to stand up? By the way, if you weren't here this past Sunday night when Pastor J.R. McArdle, whenever he ministered, he made a statement. He said, how much do you have to hate somebody to not preach the gospel to them? How much do you have to hate somebody to not actually tell them, hey, the road you're on is leading you to hell. You're going the wrong way. You're going the wrong direction. Are y'all listening to me? I mean, there's all sorts of things that we have to address. I mean, but there are certain things that the Holy Spirit will at given moments and at given times say, I want you to rise up and I want you to lift up a standard against this. Thank God for Elijah's. I said, thank God for Elijah's. God's raising up people in the spirit and the power of Elijah today. Elijah was labeled an enemy of the state all because he went to Ahab and Jezebel and told them, hey, what you're doing is wrong. What you did with Naboth was wrong. It was sin. And now there is a punishment. There is a consequence for what you have done. Oh, he was labeled as the one who troubles Israel. You're the one who troubles me, Ahab, all the time. Why don't you just tell me some nice word right now? Can you just give me a nice word? No, I can't give you a nice word because of the way you're acting, what you're promoting, what you're doing. You got the prophets of Baal there, right there in Jerusalem. They're practicing their whoredoms. They're practicing all the different things. They're practicing. They're actually putting babies into the fire because this was something that was practiced in Baal worship. There's all sorts of wicked things that were going on. God raised up a man by the name of Elijah. And Elijah went there and said, hey, I want you to tell you the raid that you are going. It is wrong. It is wrong. You should not be going that way. You know what happened? Good news. I have good news for you. Everybody say good news. There finally was a showdown. Let the God who responds by fire, let him be God. I feel the Holy Spirit. Let the God who responds by fire, let him be God. Listen, there may be some showdowns that are about to happen. I said, there may be some showdowns that are about to happen. Listen, we don't hate anybody, but I will tell you this much. Let the God who responds by fire, let him be God. And let the prophets of Baal either repent or be destroyed, one or the other. Oh, that's strong preaching. I know it is. But we have to understand, God's serious about this, folks. And there is no culture ever. You can read historically. There are other cultures that have went down the road that we're going right now, and ultimately they ended up self-destructing. They ultimately ended up imploding. You go study everything that's going on in America right now was going on in the Roman Empire right before it exploded and fell apart. And we are on that place. We're at that place right now. And if something doesn't change, folks, you know what? There's not going to be the America that we have known is not going to be the America that our children have. Somebody's got to stand up. Would you look at somebody and say, somebody's got to stand up. Look at somebody. Somebody's got to say something. You can't be afraid today. You got to be as bold as a lion. The righteous are as bold as a lion. Amen. Genesis 1, verse 22. Let's read this again. And God blessed him, saying, be fruitful and multiply. Everybody say, be fruitful. Everybody say, multiply. And fill the waters in the sea. And let birds multiply on the earth. I don't know if this is the right word. Keep on. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. That's the wrong day, but keep on going. That was good. Then God, by the way, just to let you know, God, everything God creates, he always tells him, multiply. Then God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping things. Go on. And beast of the earth, each according to its own kind. And it was so, verse 25. And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything, verse 26, that creeps on the earth according to its own kind. And God saw that it was what? Good. Verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. Here it comes. Facebook has over 30 different genders that you can apply to yourself. You know, I personally just think you can go look in the mirror and you should be able to figure out what you are. People don't need a sex change today. They need a heart change. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, male and female. He created them, verse 28. Then God blessed them, and God said to them what? Be fruitful and multiply. Let me pause here for just a moment. I know there's people that don't like you talking about these things, but listen, if we don't, our children are growing up right now. There are those that are right now introducing curriculum in school systems that are teaching in the curriculum. They're teaching within the curriculum our kids today that it's okay if two men get married. It's okay if two women get married. Listen, if we, the church, if we don't lift up a standard and say something about this, we are going to lose an entire generation. Oh, I just want to hear about the good things of God. Listen, you can't be an ostrich that goes around living with your head in the sand. I mean, this doesn't, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this out. And so what's happening, we have all of these things that are going on. God created a male and female. And I won't really try to get into that too much, but I just think, suffice to say, there's some things that you can actually have applications now that you can fill out, and there's over 50 different genders that you can pick from. I call that a very confused individual. Because whenever God created them, he created them how? Everybody say two. Look at somebody and go two. See, I'm not giving you the peace sign right now. It's two. You're either male or female. There's no. I don't know what I am. I was actually born a male, but I got a female soul. No, you got a devil is what you have, and you need to be delivered, and you need to be set free. Praise God. We'll air that. That'll be good. Cards and letters will just come in by the droves. Hallelujah. He created him male and female. Somebody's got to say it. Let's bring it on up here. Male and female. He, yes, next page, created them. Isn't that interesting? Okay, verse 28. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, do what? Be fruitful and multiply. Everybody say multiply. Fill the earth and do what? Let the devil have it. Is that what your Bible says? No, it says fill the earth and subdue it. Next, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Listen, my friend, God designed you for dominion. God designed you to be an authority. God designed you to be an overcomer. That's the way God designed you. And by the way, if you're a man, God designed you as a man. He designed you to be with a woman. Ladies, if you that are women, hear this. God designed you as a woman. Be thankful you're a woman. Listen, we need to learn to be thankful for whatever God made us. Doesn't matter what it is. You know what? It doesn't matter what the color of your skin is. It doesn't matter what your gender is. My friend, we need to be thankful for who God created. God created us the way that we are because there's a purpose that he has for our life. Amen. So back to the verse of scripture. He told them to multiply. Everybody say multiply. Now, actually, when you define the word multiply, what it literally means is to increase and bring in abundance. So I want you to get a hold of this. God says, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and increase and bring in abundance. Would you look at somebody and say, increase? Look at somebody and say, God's told you to bring in abundance. Now, I want everybody to understand this. God is the author of increase. And understand this, increase is not just a blessing that we receive. Increase is something that we have been commanded to do. Increase is not just a blessing. Increase is a command. God actually says here, Adam, I want you to be fruitful and I want you to increase. I want you to begin to bring in abundance. In other words, Adam, I've given you power. I've given you my anointing. I've given you a grace that will enable you and empower you to produce increase. You can see increase within your life. You have the ability to bring in abundance, praise God. See, a lot of times what's happened is we have looked at increase as just the promise and the blessing of the Lord. But I want you to change your perspective just a little bit today to where you don't just look at increase and blessing and all of these wonderful things that we have as merely just God's blessing upon our lives, something that we receive from heaven. I want you to see it as this. It is a commissioning that God has given to each and every one of us. Let me say it like this. God has commissioned me to increase in that which I am doing. God has commissioned me to see increase and abundance, to bring in abundance in that which I am putting my hand to. Let me say it like this. God has commissioned you to increase. God has commissioned you to bring in abundance. God has commissioned you to see an expansion of the things that he has actually originally placed within your hands. Can everybody say amen? Understand this. Our God is a God of multiplication. He is not the God of division. As a matter of fact, you look throughout the Bible and you always see where God hates division. God is not the author of division. He's the author of multiplication. He's the author of increase. He's the author of getting things bigger, praise God. See, God is not against the principle of multiplication. He is the one who actually ordained it, and he is the one who instituted it, and he is the one who commanded it. Can everybody say amen? Amen. Now, what's very interesting, I won't turn to all of these scriptures, but you'll see throughout the Old Testament, and even going into the New, where God continually commands people to multiply. Whenever Noah, whenever they came out of the ark, you know, one of the first things that God tells Noah, I want you to multiply. Everybody say multiply. As a matter of fact, twice after the flood, God actually speaks to Noah and says, Noah, be fruitful and multiply. Noah, be fruitful and multiply. I want you to begin to increase. I want you to begin to expand. What are you saying, Pastor, today? I'm saying this. If God would command us to increase, then there can't be bad. I said, it can't be wrong. It can't be sinful. You know, there's sometimes that people, you know, they want to, you know, really kind of jump on the prosperity message in a negative way and say, well, you know what? I just can't see where God just wanted people to have things, and I can't see where God wanted to bless people. You need to go back and read your Bible, because every time I read my Bible, I see anytime God touches anybody, there's blessing and multiplication that God brings into their hands. There's increase that God brings into their hands. God ordained you to increase. God ordained you to multiply. He ordained you for greatness, my friend. Amen. Now, this is, I want to give the balance to this also. Understand this. That does not become our sole goal in life. In other words, we don't make money our goal. We don't make things our goal. We make this. We are going to follow the command of the Lord. We're going to follow the commissioning of the Lord. As we do that, there will be increase and there will be blessing. Amen. Are y'all getting anything out of this today? It is a perpetual command, and it's also a perpetual promise. When God begins to speak to Abraham, he says, Abraham, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is in the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. See, my friend, God's all about multiplication. He's all about increase. God is not wanting to decrease you. Let me say it like this. God's wanting to bring financial increase. God's wanting to bring family increase. God's wanting to bring soulish increase. God's wanting to bring increase in your health. God's wanting to bring increase in every area and in every arena of your life. My God desires to bring increase into your life. Now understand this, increase is not just money. Because listen, you can have $1 billion, but if your kids are out on drugs, you're not really experiencing the total increase that God wants to have, and God wants you to, what God wants you to have, and what God wants you to experience within your life. As a matter of fact, I've said this before, you know, I could be living in a cardboard box. But just to know that my kids are serving God and they're on fire for Jesus, I'm a very rich man just in that aspect alone. But I want everybody to understand this. God doesn't design just for your family to serve God. He wants your family to serve God with some money in the bank at the same time. God wants you to be able to serve Him and your family, to be blessed in every arena. Let me say it like this. God doesn't want you just to have money and blessing and increase, but He wants it for your children also. My friend, God wants to bless you and multiply you and increase you in every arena and every area of your life. Amen. Not just one, everyone. Look at somebody and say, not just one, but everyone. So I want you to think about this. Why would God command Adam, Noah, and Abraham to multiply and increase if it were bad or sinful? Why would He promise Abraham that He would multiply him if it were sinful? Now, let me go on a little rabbit trail here for just a moment. You can never get upset about somebody else's blessing when you don't know the seed that they have sown. I'm going to say it again. It's worth repeating. You can never get upset about somebody else's blessing when you don't know what seed they've sown. You don't know what kind of seed they sowed to get the harvest that they're experiencing right now. So understand this. Rather than getting upset with somebody because they're experiencing a great harvest, it would be much better for you if you actually went to them and you said, hey, tell me, how did you get that harvest? I want to know what you did in order to have this increase come forth and be manifested within your life. Because I know this, God is not a respecter of persons. And if he'll do it for you, he'll do it for me too. You know what? If God will bless you in that manner, then tell me what you did. Because God, he's not saying, I'm going to bless you, but I'm not going to bless him. I'm going to bless her, but I'm not going to bless that individual over there. My friend, he is not a respecter of persons. And whatever he has done for one, he'll do for everyone. Hallelujah. So rather than get upset and get envious and get jealous because somebody has a, you know, they're blessed, my friend, what we need to do is actually start asking some questions. What did you do to get there? Now, I want everybody to understand this, because this is, I'm coming into the meat of my message right now. I don't care if it's a secular businessman, a worldly businessman, or a Christian businessman. If they're experiencing increase, I can guarantee you one thing. Somewhere they have sown some seed. Because multiplying always happens on the other side of a seed being planted. Did you realize everything in the kingdom of God revolves around one principle, and that is the principle of the seed? Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a seed. Although this is the smallest of all things, once it's planted and it goes in the ground, it then grows up and it becomes very large. In other words, what Jesus is saying, when the small seed goes into the ground, the result is increase. The result is expansion. The kingdom of God operates upon the principle of the seed. And so we have to understand that anywhere, I don't care where it is, you see increase. Somewhere along the line, there was some type of seed that was planted. Hear this, whether it was a good seed or whether it was a bad seed, there was some type of seed that was planted that brought that increase into their hands. Whenever God commanded Adam and Eve, he said, be fruitful and multiply. Everybody say multiply. Multiply, of course, again, means to increase in numbers, to increase in content. First of all, let's just get on the real natural plane here for just a moment. For Adam and Eve to see increase in their family, what has to happen? This is not a trick question. Some of you don't, you're afraid to answer the question. What has to happen is there has to be a seed that is planted. Let me get very specific. Adam has to plant his seed into the womb of Eve. There is no way for fruitfulness and increase to come into Adam's life. It can't even begin until, first of all, a seed is planted. So at the base of creation, at the very beginning of creation, God begins to show us, he institutes and shows us a principle that is going to affect every realm of your life. In order to be fruitful and in order to multiply, that means this, you got to plant a seed. Adam, I want you to be fruitful and multiply, but hear this, it's not going to happen because you have goo-goo eyes over Eve. You can't just look at her and go, that's not going to make a baby. That's not going to cause something to come forth. There's only one way that a baby is going to happen. There's only one way that fruitfulness is going to happen, and that is this. You and Eve have got to get together, and there has to be a seed that is planted on the inside of her. But if you'll be faithful to obey, and you'll be faithful to do, I don't think it probably took much persuasion. But the reality is, if you'll be faithful to obey, I will tell you what's going to happen. You'll begin to expand. Your family will begin to grow. Well, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but one of the seeds that you're going to learn, we're going to see today, the Lord willing, is there's the seed of obedience that must be planted. Seed of obedience is very important. You see, we'll never see God's results within our lives if we don't make a decision that we will obey what God has said. And so Adam has got to plant a seed. And so every seed will always reproduce after its kind. Whatever seed is sown is a seed that will actually then begin to be manifested. So God begins to implement this principle of the seed. As a matter of fact, what we actually read about is how that God plants a garden. And now what's very interesting, it doesn't say that God created a garden. It says that God planted a garden. Everybody say, God planted a garden. How many know if you plant a garden, that means you're putting down seed? So God didn't actually say, plants be. God took a seed himself. And he said, Adam, I want to show you how this thing is going to be done. I'm giving you this is the principle that the entire earth is going to operate around. And that is this, you take this little seed right here and you're going to put it in the ground and you're going to cover it up. This little seed here, you're going to put it in the ground and cover it up. I tell you, one of the things that you have to realize that many times after you plant a seed, it may stay in the ground for a while before you actually see it sprout up. But you can't go dig your seed up trying to make sure, well, what's wrong with the seed? Nothing's wrong with the seed. It's just working at that time. Give it time because eventually it will bring increase into your life. Plant the seed, Adam. Plant the seed, Adam. God takes him through and he shows him how to plant. That's the reason it's so important that you get planted in a local church. Those who are planted in the house, those who allow themselves to be a seed and get planted in a local church, the Bible says that then you will flourish in the courts of your God. Amen? So, there's the principle of the seed. The first seed I really want to talk about is really a twofold seed, and that is this, the seed of faith and obedience. Everybody say faith and obedience. Turn over to Luke chapter 5. Turn over to Luke chapter 5, verse 1. I want you to see this. Luke chapter 5, just verse 1 there. Again, we're talking about increase. Because understand this, we can prophesy it, we can declare it, we can decree it, but until you're willing to plant a seed, you won't see it. I'm going to say that again. We can prophesy it. We can declare it. We can lay hands upon your head till we rub every hair off the top of your head. But you won't see increase until you make a decision that you are going to plant a seed. Because hear this, increase always comes on the other side of planting a seed. Now, I know some of you think, well, you're just talking about money now. I'm not talking about money right now. Because hear this, the seeds that you must plant are more than just money. It's not about just putting an offering in an offering plate. There are seeds that must be planted. The first seed is the seed of faith and obedience. Everybody say faith and obedience. Luke chapter 5, we'll start with verse 1. Are y'all still with me? So it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of the Lord that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Verse 2, and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Verse 4. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep. Oh, I just saw this thing. You got to understand what had just happened. Not a trick question. Go back to, you don't have to go back on there, but what had just happened? Peter had just allowed Jesus to use his boat. Jesus needed somebody who was willing to sow a seed, because we're going to see something happen here in just a moment. When he had stopped speaking, he said, Simon, launch into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Notice this. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Smart move. And when he had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. Everybody shout increase. Increase. Come on, shout increase. Increase. I would call this increase whenever your net begins to break. Net breaking increase. I said net breaking increase. Not neck breaking increase. I'm talking about net breaking increase. So much revelation is flashing in front of me right now. Verse 7. And they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. More business than what they could handle. So much that they were going to have to get a bigger boat. Anybody ever see the movie Jaws? You remember that famous line? I think we're going to need a bigger boat. There's something a lot better than Jaws that God wants you to catch hold of. And I prophesy to you right now that you're going to need a bigger boat. I said you're going to need a bigger boat. I said you're going to need a bigger boat. Because God's bringing increase into your hands. Now this is a very interesting story. I know you've heard me even teach some from it before. But what you see happening here, what Peter begins with is just, he's doing really two things, and that is this. He's obeying what Jesus tells him to do. And so there's the seed of obedience. And then we see the seed of faith being sown whenever Peter says, Lord, we've toiled all night, but nevertheless at your word. And by the way, just to let you know, your faith is more than just words coming out of your mouth. Because Peter could have said, yes, Lord, I believe you. But really the test of his faith whenever he chose to take his nets and then throw them out of the boat in order to see manifested what Jesus had promised. Are you understanding what I'm saying? James said it like this, faith without is. See, it's one thing for somebody to say that they believe something. But I will tell you this, when you really believe something, there will be some corresponding action on the other side of that. In other words, there'll be obedience. If you really believe that Jesus is Lord of your life, there'll be some corresponding action that then happens within your life. There'll be some obedience that you'll begin to walk out. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So what begins to take place? Peter does exactly what Jesus tells him to do. He lets down the net. They catch such a great catch of fish that they can't even contain it. The nets begin to break, and he begins to call for all the other folks that are around, all the other fishermen, we need some help. And all the other boats, they come and they begin to gather the fish to the point to where all of the boats are beginning to sink. Now, I want you to hear this. There are some believers that miss out on God's best because they're doing things in a wrong manner. Let me say it like this. The reason it's not working is because that's not the way that it works. I'm going to say that again so you really get a hold of it. The reason that it's not working is because that's not the way that it works. See, Peter had been fishing. He's been fishing. And Jesus says, hey, Peter, you've been doing it all wrong. You got to cast your net on another side. Listen, I want business people, you need to be open to allow the Holy Spirit to direct the decisions that you're making. Because sometimes the Holy Spirit may say, hey, you got to begin to fish on this other side. You've been doing good here, you know, but it's been a whole lot of work, but not very much harvest. And I want to transcend you from a place where you're just working to a place where you're actually harvesting. You know, it's not just the sweat of your brow that's going to get the job done. It's the favor of God upon your life that's going to cause increase to begin to come into your hands. Would everybody say amen to that? Hallelujah. Let me say it like this. I believe the Holy Spirit gave this to me. God is shifting you from working to harvesting. There's a difference between working and harvesting. I've made a decision. I'm not working any longer because I've entered into God's rest. And now I'm entering into harvest. There's a difference between harvesting and working. Working, you're doing it by the sweat of your brow. Working, you're trying to make things happen. Listen, I'm not trying to make anything happen. I'm just going into the land that God has told me to go into, and I'm harvesting that which God has called me to harvest. Amen? It's a different perspective. It's a different mentality that I believe that God wants us to get a hold of. Look at somebody and say, I ain't working any longer. Look at somebody and say, I'm harvesting now. Look at somebody and say, I'm not working any longer. Look at somebody and say, I'm harvesting now. You see, I don't want to just be working all the time. I don't want to just be toiling all the time. You see, that's what Peter had been doing. Man, I've been toiling, Jesus. I've been working, Jesus. I've been doing all these things. But hear this, Peter. You have to understand there's some seed that you've just got to sow, and now you just got to obey. There's the seed of faith and obedience and the seed of giving. If you just let me use your boat for just a moment, just let me use your boat. You don't have to give the boat, the entire boat to me. Just let me get out and preach in it for just a moment. And then whenever you go back out there, now cast your net on the other side. Oh, are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, God shifted him from a place where he was not just working, but where he was harvesting. Look at somebody, say, no more work. I'm going into harvesting. You see, when you walk in obedience, you transcend the realm of working by the sweat of your own brow to the realm of supernatural harvest. Proverbs 22:11 says, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow, no extra toiling, no extra work with it. Hallelujah. Their increase came because of the seed of faith and obedience that they sowed. The last seed is this, the seed of giving. Now, you can't talk about increase without talking about giving a little bit. I know we all know the story of the widow of Zarephath. And what you really will find with the widow is that she actually not only practiced the seed of giving, you see that actually the seed of giving practiced in Peter's life, but you'll see this woman, the widow of Zarephath, a lot of times we focused in on the seed of the gift of that which you give, but we have understated the seed of faith and obedience. You see, your faith is a seed that is sown. Your obedience is a seed that is sown. I've said this before, everything that you do in life is a seed that you're sowing for a future harvest. I don't care what you're doing, however you're acting right now, it is a seed that you're sowing for a future harvest. Let me say it like this, parents, if you want on fire kids, then you sow some on fire seed. You hearing this? If you want some on fire kids, then you sow some on fire seed. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this. If you want your kids to be on fire, then you be on fire. You've got to sow some seed in front of them in the way that you're behaving if you want it to be then acted out within your own children and your own family. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I'm just going to pray for them. No, start acting the way that they should be acting, what you're believing for them. You start doing it in front of them. Amen. The widow woman of Zarephath, prophet shows up. And you think about this, you know, they're in a famine right then, and she's actually just, she's gathering some sticks, and the prophet says, what you doing? She says, I'm gathering some sticks. I'm going to go make a fire, and I've got a little bit of oil, and I got a little bit of meal, and I'm going to make a cake for me and my son, and we're going to eat it and die. Man, what a wonderful destiny. Can I tell you, you may have had a bad destiny within your life, but God shows up to give you something new and fresh. God causes things to be turned around within your life. Amen. So God shows up, Elijah shows up, God shows up also because God's showing up through Elijah, shows up and says, hey, widow woman, widow of Zarephath, I just want you to give me a little bit of what you got. Don't give me everything. I'm not asking that you give me everything that you have, but I want you to, first of all, you bake me a cake first. And after you bake me a cake first, then you can bake something for your son. Can you imagine if 60 Minutes would have been around? Can you imagine if CNN would have been around? Can you imagine if, I mean, Fox would have been around? If you could imagine any news agency that would have been around at that time, preacher taking advantage of poor widow woman. Full story in 5 minutes. People would be just waiting. Because we always love anything that we can hear negative about a preacher. So all of a sudden, by the way, let me pause for just a moment because Friday was Pastor Stacy and I as our 34th anniversary. Praise the Lord. I love this woman right here. 34. And 34 more. Praise God. He says, hey, you just bake me a cake first. And this is what she does. Just because the man of God says so. She said, think about what faith it required of her to say, I'm going to do what you said. There's no indication that all of a sudden a lightning struck from heaven. And that she began to vibe and began to quake. And that the anointing of God was so strong upon her that she fell out under the power of God. There was no light beam that shone from heaven. It was just the prophet speaking to her. And she said, okay, that's what I'm going to do. You said it, I'm going to do it. She made him a cake. And then you know the rest of the story. The Bible says the cruse of oil did not fail, neither did the barrel of meal fail all throughout the famine. Let me say it like this. God caused increase to come into the life of the widow woman, all because she was willing to give of what she had, and she was willing to obey and exercise her faith. God brought increase. There are seeds that we must sow if we want to see this activated within our lives. Hear this. We are in a season of expansion. We are in a season of increase, but there's got to be some seed that we sow in order to activate that within our lives. I've chosen, I've said, yes, Lord, I'm going to sow the seed. You're declaring it right now. You're bringing it to illumination right now. You're bringing it to the forefront of our thinking, the forefront of our understanding. But Lord, I know there's a responsibility that we have to act on what you're saying. So I say, yes, Lord, we'll sow the seeds that are needed because there's increase that you have planned for us. Would you stand to your feet today? Hallelujah.
We trust you received from this powerful message. If you are being blessed by the ministry of High Praise and would like to sow a financial seed, you can do so at our website, highpraisepc.com. At our website, you will also find more information about our services and resources that we have available that will be a blessing to your life. Also, connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. God bless you, and thank you for downloading this podcast from High Praise.